Sean Salisbury. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. People are excited about the signing of Jadeveon Clowney. Obviously, you know, his best years were in Houston. He hasn't been as good the last couple of years. He's always been injury prone. What have you thought of him, and what do you think of the fit of him with the Browns?
I like him. He's one of the great disruptors in the run game in the league. Unfortunately, the pub and the hype always comes from, in his case, was from where he was drafted, but he's been a great run disruptor in the league. And the pub and the hype when it comes to pay and people's perception of him is, well, that he doesn't get sacks because he's never had double-digit sacks. But, you know, he had J.J. Watt for a minute when he was starting out and getting rolling, and they were together for a bit. And Watt was still playing good football, not his best. I think having the guy across from him that he's got across from him will also help, because Clowney's ability and his length and it may have subsided a little bit across the league with the hype of it, but he's always been the guy that you say, okay, but what if he takes over a game? So he's drawn some double teams, and then in the pass rush game, you know, people have been able to block him at times with one guy, but you know, it's an amazing what motivation can do. If he's on the field and healthy and playing angry, you're going to get a guy who gets in the backfield, who will get pressures. He may not get 15 sacks because we haven't seen 10 from him yet. But I think it's a hell of a signing. I think it's for the price, what, up to a chance to make $10 million. And yep. Guys, when they got a 1 year prove it, and they're on a good team that's on the rise, I think this is important. If you see him play average or is not durable, then you probably have already seen his best football. I don't think we have. Now, I don't know what will get him to the next level, but having Myles Garrett in defense and allowing him to do what he does and work on some other moves in the offseason, I think it'll be good. But, you know, it all depends on, you know, a lot of it has to do with health. But the guy's long, and he still brings a hint of, I don't want to be the guy where he busts out against, but he can be a major. He's been one of our better run disruptors in the league, and unfortunately in this league, all the kudos and the pub and the high fives go to the big sack guy, the numbers.
Sure.
And he'll do a lot of dirty work on the field as far as disrupting the run, so it's an upgrade, comfortability, the system he's in, and having what maybe, if not the first, he ain't the third best rusher in the league right now in Myles Garrett. I think this is something the Browns have seemed to wanted for a while, and I think it's a good get, and I think it's an upgrade and a help to your football team.
Yeah, Sean, we had your friend John Clayton on yesterday, and he referenced, he was like, yeah, you know, he loves Clowney, by the way, loves him. And he was like, but his legs right now, he might be a 32-year-old in a 28-year-old's body. But even still, the Browns are just taking a 1 year, all right, you go ahead and you be awesome this year and then go get paid somewhere else, or maybe even extend him here. On a 1 year deal, though, this seems like the right move for Andrew Berry.
Yeah, what's the risk? Mm-hmm. What's the risk? I mean, right. Okay, so he doesn't reach all of his incentives, and you finally answered the question that you've been wondering about since he's been in years past, an opportunity to go get, you got him. And you never know when one team can bring out the best. Listen, this guy, when he was here, was well thought of. And, you know, there was always this, well, he doesn't play hard. And some of that, every player I've ever seen on the defensive side of the ball at some point doesn't chase down a guy from behind and jogs a little. So I think that, you know, guys like Mike Vrabel held him in high regard and coached him here and the people that have been on his teammates. So, you know, there's been some up and down with him. But, Jonathan, you're right. I don't – now, if you sign him – for $70 million for 4 years, we'd probably say, well, what the hell? But
yeah.
The production the production with the sacks has not come close to matching first pick of the draft. Oh, my gosh. But I think at times we overhype it. Would you rather have one sack or four disruptions? That's what you got to ask yourself. So, and motivation, money, and if he's healthy, a guy across from you that is widely considered the best in the business now in Myles Garrett – can be a great motivator. I don't think there's any risk. They got better. It may, you know, dictate where they go or some of the things they do come draft day. I don't have a problem with it, and I've been saying, and John and I, he comes on my show every week when he was in Seattle. I know they liked him, and they wanted him back in the past, and he's a really good player. He's not a Hall of Famer, but he's a really good player and will help Cleveland's defense when he's on the field for the simple fact that you still have to game plan for him, because there is that, oh my gosh, he's still in his 20s and is an enormous talent and can take over a game at times.
Sean, I think you're dead on with that. I feel like in society, nobody sees like the gray areas, right? It's always got to be he's great or he sucks. There's no in between. And
right.
Especially when a guy's drafted first overall, yes, looking back, was he worth the first overall pick in the draft? No, of course not. But he's not a bad – he's a good player. He's not a – I said – what I described him earlier today. Somebody gave this to me the other day. He's a really good Robin to Myles Garrett's Batman. He's not a Batman, but he's a really good Robin.
Right, and in a fist fight, and I don't mean – but in terms of playing.
Yeah.
Robin will – it'll battle, meaning Myles Garrett would face a tougher battle than Batman would with the original Robin on the TV series. Trust
That's
me.
Right.
He's still got some full-grown man in him now, in when I'm talking about Jadeveon Clowney. And, guys, listen, you're so right, Bull. For instance, when the guys come out in the draft, and the truth is how many – if we judged every first pick of the draft by the hype,
yeah,
how many of them would be willing – how many of them would we say – boy, he lived up to it. It's too much. Too much hype. We heap some of on because, you know, the great play against Michigan in a bowl game and his domination at South Carolina. But you know what? Because he's never been a big sack guy, but we do. Oh, he's not Bruce Smith. Yeah, who is?
Right.
Okay. And with the quarterbacks coming out, well, he can't do what Mahomes can. Yeah, who can?
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. You can be a great player, Julian Edelman, and not be a Hall of Famer. Okay, so Jadeveon Clowney, where he was drafted, I get it, and you're exactly right, but there's no such thing as you're just allowed to be good. You're either great or you suck, okay? I've seen the suck side, and I've also seen great players around me that are like, man, that guy's so good. How is he not in the Pro Bowl? Or, man, he's really good, but he's not the best at his position in the league. It's okay, because most of the guys aren't the best at their position in the league.
That's right.
Just the facts.
No doubt. Sean, defensively for the Browns now, they've signed three free agents on the D-line, one at linebacker, two in the secondary. So you got six new players. Plus you have two defensive backs that were hurt and missed the whole season last year, and Andrew Billings on the defensive line who opted out last year. So that's nine guys who are essentially new to the team this year that will either be starters or will play significant rotational snaps.
Yep.
Obviously, the Browns are better, a lot better on paper defensively. I was saying before, I think it's going to take, though, probably a half a year before they get to where they want to be. Offense, there's no turnover. Defense, there's a lot. How tricky is it to get everybody on the same page? How long do you think it takes?
Easier at times than offense, especially if the scheme is not a, oh, my gosh. You know, what you never want on either side of the ball. You want it to look like on offense. We want it to look complex for you on defense. We're trying to create mismatches and create deception on the offensive side of the ball to where you guys on the defense think that we're running 400 plays, which we're not. But on our side, we can react instead of think. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, depending on who you are and what coordinator you have, there's some defenses, Seahawks, when Dan Quinn and Gus Bradley were there, play about four coverages. We're not going to get real cute. We're going to line up so we know alignment and assignment. We're not going to be out of place. And when you catch it, we're going to tackle you. We're not going to be out of our lane when we rush the passer. We're not going to come inside when I got to keep my outside arm free and be disciplined. That's the biggest part of discipline. It starts, and we talk about it in the seventh grade, is alignment and assignment. If you know where to line up and you don't get too cute and play the hero guy, and you got good players, you're going to make a lot of plays. The other side of it is it will take a while to understand guys' movement. We underrate that as far as the trust factor, and this linebacker knows where to move this guy, and this defensive end understands his role and the rotation part, and training camp will help. Now, listen, it's going to take a little longer because our off seasons are a little different now. And voluntary used to be mandatory when I was playing. Now voluntary is voluntary. And depending on who you can get there with great leadership to get guys there. And then training camp, it's not as physical and not as long, and you're not padded up as much. So we're a little bit behind on the interior play on every team in the league for the most part. So it'll take a minute, but I would encourage Browns fans to have a little patience and allow the scheme to take over. Don't expect 12 sacks in game one and no rushing yards. It's going to take a minute. But I will tell you this, not just those starters and all those nine changes, but the depth, like you mentioned, the back end. We're no longer in a league where you just got to have two good corners. If your nickel and dime can't play, you're screwed. You are, because I normally my fourth receiver is better than your fourth cover guy. My third receiver a lot of times is better than your third cover guy. But if you've got four and depth that can play and rotate in and out and go nickel and dime and stay big when you need to stay big and go small when you need to go small, now you create mismatch issues for the team you're about to play against. So depth, the depth of it is going to be as important as the 11 dudes you line up to start with.
Sean, just how good do you think a defense needs to be if you have Super Bowl aspirations? Do they need to be top 15? Is it top 10? Where's that line for you?
Love that question, Jonathan. Obviously, it's evolved over the years, right, in all sports, quite frankly, in Major League Baseball. If you got a pitcher who can get you out and you can mash, you can strike out a lot and still win a lot of games, right? We see that now. In football, for me, and when we hear defense wins championships, no, it doesn't. I'm talking about over the consistency of it. Now, I'll get to my point, the point that when people say, what about the Super Bowl? And we'll get to that in a second. But we're to the point now, we got so – people draft weapons where the pass rusher, you'll take the best receiver in the draft before you'll take the biggest disruptor, unless you think that's Lawrence Taylor, right? So I personally would have told you 15 years ago it was different. I needed to be up, but I'll take the 15th best defense – and the best, most explosive, best ball-protecting red zone offense in the league. And I think I'm going to beat you more than if you have the best defense but can only score 14, 17 points a game. I'll take that first. So give me one offense, 15 defense versus number one defense, and the 15th-ranked offense with the 15th-best quarterback. I'll take the best quarterback and that defense as opposed to a dumb, unless, of course, the Baltimore Ravens 2000 show up.
Yeah.
The 85 Bears or the 70 Steelers, I'll take the offense now. But there is the caveat that it's when that happens, Jonathan and Bull, is we saw the Super Bowl. Two tackles are hurt. What does Todd Bowles do? He puts a defense in that week to help not get away from their base stuff, but to attack the weakness, just like a good quarterback and coordinator does. One guy limps off, a new corner comes in, and it's 40 degrees out and he's cold. Attack him the first play. Go get him. So there is that one game Super Bowl you got to, but I got news for you. Even with that defense, if Brady and the offense play bad or he turns it over three times, guess what's not happening?
That's right.
They're not winning the Super Bowl. So
that's right.
Give me a great quarterback and a number one offense and a middle of the road defense. The middle of the road, they're in the top half, as opposed to average quarterback, average offense, but the defense rises up. You ain't winning games on a consistent basis scoring 17, 20 points. If you're not scoring 3 and 4 touchdowns a week and closer to 4 and 28, 30 points, you're probably going to be left standing in January and February.
Yeah, you can't win. You mentioned those rates. You can't win with a quarterback throwing more picks than touchdowns. I mean,
no.
Not these days. You can't win that way.
It will not happen because that quarterback eventually will put your defense in such a bind that no matter how good you are, if you give me the short field, I'm going to beat you eventually.
Definitely. Sean. Good stuff as always, man. We'll talk
to you
next week.
Guys. Congrats on the clowning
stuff.
Thanks,
all right, thanks, man. Sean Salisbury, AM 790 in Houston.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.